This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Morning Show with Jay James and Jane Foy, provided by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at sevillepodcast.com.
Well, folks, we have what will be a very enlightening half hour for you at 9:36. We have a great guest with us in Studio A at 1140 Rose Hill Drive. He is the Commonwealth's Attorney, Jim Camblos. He's been the Commonwealth's Attorney since January of 1992. So first and foremost, sir, thank you, and welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jay. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Excellent. All right. Well, where should we begin, Jane, do you think, question-wise?
Well, let's see. One of the questions that I had, and maybe I'm skipping ahead a little far, Jim, but one 13-year-old child has on appeal but found not guilty. How long is this issue going to go on, or what's next?
Well, there's one more trial scheduled for January. Right now it's scheduled for January, and we have no reason to think it won't happen. That should be the end of it. There's one matter that was not appealed. There's one that is still a closed hearing and not within the bosom of the court. We can't talk about it. Then there's the one case that was appealed and found not guilty, and then the fourth one and the last one is scheduled for trial in January.
Normally, the cases that come before you, where they will get headlines and where they will be in the news, but this one in particular has gotten quite a bit of press, quite a bit of attention, whether one way or another. Why do you think that is, and would you care to respond to any of the news reports that you've heard or read?
Sure. This one was the combination of factors. It involved our children, and we're all very, very concerned about our children, and we're very protective of our children. It involved the schools and the administrators of the schools. And it involved an issue that was potentially a Columbine kind of an issue, where somebody was going to go into the schools and do harm to people or persons in the schools. And then the last factor is that because the statutes and the laws of Virginia are such that we want to protect our children, under 14 years of age, it's a closed hearing, period. You can't talk about it. And that drove a lot of people nuts, especially the media. They wanted to know what was going on, and nobody could talk about it. There were some leaks that, not sure where they came from. We think we know where they came from, that made it more difficult to keep the system operating as it should have, which is a closed hearing for anybody under 14 years of age. What happened in juvenile court was that all four were charged and kept in the juvenile system. We could have taken two of them to the adult system because of their age, but we felt that given the nature and that what we knew about those children, they all should stay in the juvenile system. So one of them, the ringleader, pled guilty right up front, gave a very detailed statement to the police, pled guilty. The other three were all tried together, and because two of them were under 14, it was a closed hearing, period. Couldn't be talked about, a closed hearing. And after an extended trial, it lasted almost a week, I think 4 days, the juvenile judge heard all the evidence. They had good defense attorneys, did a hard job working for their clients, and that juvenile judge is an experienced jurist and experienced attorney, found those three guilty. And at that point, all four of them had been found guilty, the ringleader by his guilty plea, and the other three at the conclusion of a 3-4 day trial in juvenile court after lots of evidence and lots of testimony, they were all found guilty. Still, people, the media wanted to know what went on, and it couldn't be talked about.
Jim, I wanted to ask you about that as we talked to Commonwealth's Attorney Jim Camblos. So we had heard because we're in the media, we'd heard in circles, was there ever a gag order or was it a matter of law that you cannot discuss details of a case of folks that are under 14?
Matter of law. There's a statute. You can't talk about it if they're under 14. The gag order was a creation of the press because it sounds good. But it's like a gag order. You can't talk about it, period, when they're under 14 years of age.
Now, and where in the chronology of this did this disputed press conference occur? What was the timing of when that occurred?
Are you talking about the police press conference?
Mm-hmm. Department, not the Commonwealth's Attorney's
right.
Office. But where in the chronology did
that was
occur?
When they were arrested at the very beginning, and all they did was outline what they were charged with, and what they were charged with uses all inclusive language. That includes bomb, destroy, fire, shoot, you know, just it's a litany of what somebody might do in a school, and that's what they were charged with, and that's what the police had in that press conference.
I'm curious about more about juvenile law, because while we have you here, it's a great opportunity for us to question you about as far as when a juvenile is brought in by police as a matter of law. And the whole issue of whether a lawyer can be present or not present, if you could elaborate on that a little
sure. bit. Sure. Anybody who wants to have a lawyer there can have a lawyer there. What has been misconstrued to a large degree in this case, you got to understand the police, first thing they get is information as to the ringleader. They interview the ringleader, and he gives a statement, and he's arrested. They interview the next oldest. He gives a statement. He's arrested. None of them are, when they're interviewed, they're not under arrest. They're free to go. They're free to have their parents there. Their parents were there. Parents knew what the police were there to talk to them about, agreed to let the police talk to them. They talked to the three individuals, and at the conclusion of talking with those individuals and the statements received, those three individuals were arrested. So now the police have three juveniles under arrest for conspiracy to bomb, destroy, whatever, kill people in the school system. The police have a sense of urgency. We need to find out, is there anybody else involved? We need to interview more kids based on the interviews we had with these three. And the net just keeps on expanding as names are brought into it by people who are being interviewed. The particular individual who was found not guilty in the circuit court was brought to the police department by his parents at the request of the police. He was not a suspect. He was not under arrest. He was considered to be a witness. The police told the parents what they wanted to talk to him about. The parents waited outside. I think they might have even watched it on the video screen while the police interviewed this young man. He was not under arrest. He was thought to be nothing more than a witness to the other three. At the conclusion of that interview, he left and went home with his parents. There was a dispute as to the computer. The police wanted to look at his computer. The parents said they would bring the computer in. The police didn't get it for about 3 days. I think it was 3 days. When they did get it, it appeared to have been tampered with. When I say that, the computer was of a certain make and model, and it had a hard drive in it that was not of that make and model. It also, the hard drive that was in it, did not have information, bits of dialogue and information on it, that should have been there based on what the young man had told the police when they interviewed him. He still wasn't a suspect. The police kept talking to other children, and as they talked to other children, he became a suspect. And that's when he got arrested. And it was well after the interview process. Even witnesses, if they're just a witness, and that's all he was when he never was interviewed again. When he was interviewed, it was thought he was nothing more than just a witness. And he was free to go. He left when it was all over. He left with his parents. Parents said, we'll bring you the computer. It was several days before they got it there, and when they got it there, it appeared to have been tampered with.
The arrest then, the subsequent arrest, in your opinion, was not made based on the interview the police had with the youngster, but on conversations with other children.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it was those, and it was that evidence from other children that was presented in open court, in the circuit court and in the juvenile court. That one particular individual was the least involved with the computers as far as what we had for computer information, because the computer that they brought us didn't have any MySpace or any of that on it.
We got to take a break. We're talking with Commonwealth's Attorney Jim Kamblos, kind enough to join us this morning on the WINA Morning Show. It is 9:46, and we'll be back in just a few moments. News Radio 1070 WINA in our final segment with Commonwealth's Attorney Jim Kamblos joining us this morning. It is 9:49 on the WINA Morning Show. We've been talking about the Albemarle County school bomb plot case in some detail and just taking on some of the issues in that. And Jim, I know that there were a couple of things, just maybe points that you wanted to hit about the case that you think folks may need a little more information about.
Right. Thank you, Jay. Yes, there were. I think you know that, you know, as prosecutors, it's a very difficult job, but what we have to do is we have to analyze the evidence that's brought to us by the police department. We have to weigh that evidence, and we have to determine whether we believe there's probable cause that a crime has been committed. We got to weigh all those factors and many others and decide whether to go forward and try the case. This case was no different. This was a conspiracy that was caught in its very early stages. Some people have said we should have let it go on. There should have been phone taps, things like that, and let the kids keep working on it. That's not the real world. That's not the way it works. You got to remember the ringleader who was one of the very first ones interviewed. He was born on Hitler's 100th anniversary birthday. And that April 20th birthday is also the anniversary of Columbine. We took this very, very seriously, as did the police department and as did the school system. And to say that the police shouldn't have stopped it, that they should have wiretaps and that sexy stuff that they do on TV, is really absurd. It's just not living in the real world. We had statements from all four of these individuals. We had emails. We had statements to other students and administrators. And as prosecutors, we would have been derelict. As prosecutors, we decide whether there's probable cause, and if we believe all the factors involved are sufficient, we take it to the judicial system. We took it to the judicial system, and a very good judge in the General District, Juvenile District Relations, Domestic Court, convicted all four of them, one on a guilty plea and three after pleading not guilty. They were all convicted. Somebody on the radio said that, well, everybody knows in juvenile court you're guilty until proven innocent. The judge cannot and will not respond to a comment like that, but I will, and I will very forcefully. That is an outrageous comment. That is a slap in the face of our judiciary that tries very hard to be completely fair. My last comment before I turn it back. There have been a number of comments about Darby Lowe, my assistant, and how she handled this case. She worked very, very hard on this case. She's the mother of two children. She's a career prosecutor. She cares about the community. She cares about the people in it. She worked very hard on this case. And as a result of that trial in juvenile court, they were all convicted in large part because of her very hard work. She's been taking a lot of shots lately from people who were mad at her, mad at me. Well, being mad at me, I'm a lightning rod. It goes with the territory. But Darby's not going to respond, but I will. She is a very, very good prosecutor who cares about everybody in the community. And as a matter of fact, at the conclusion of the trial in juvenile court, one of the attorneys for one of those juveniles told the judge in court that the Commonwealth Attorney's Office, and specifically Darby Lowe, had been very fair and very appropriate in the way they handled themselves. And one of the other attorneys has said privately they were very pleased with the way Darby handled it and how fair she was with the system. And that's just what I wanted to say. I needed to get it off my chest. I understand I have to take a lot as a prosecutor, but cheap shots isn't part of it.
I want to ask you this. Based on our experience with this, when you have a potential hugely tragic situation, and then the way that it was handled. We talked to Rob Bell and David Toscano on Wednesday evening at a kind of a citizens forum down at the Free Speech Monument, and they were kind of expecting somewhere down the line, because they both sit on the Courts of Justice Committee in the legislature, they were both kind of expecting somewhere down the line this issue would get to the Courts of Justice Committee, I'm assuming because of procedural questions. And one of them might be, should a potential witness of a crime, such as the youngster who was found not guilty on appeal, be told, even though he's underage, be told immediately upon entering that room that even as just here as a witness or here to, as a conversation, you can have an attorney present, or the parents should be asked to sit in and not separate the child, because I think that's one of the things that keeps being said over and over again. I'm not sure whether Rob Bell or David Toscano agree with that, but it was their impression that there might be something about this case that makes it its way to Richmond.
And I think that might very well be appropriate that the legislature and the Courts of Justice Committee discuss some of the aspects of this case. And as long as they hear a full and complete and accurate rendition of what happened, I have no problem with that. I think that would be a good thing for them to discuss. To say that every witness, you got to remember, the police, this was an ever-expanding situation, and the police wanted to try to make sure they got everybody that was part of this conspiracy and that they didn't miss anybody. They miss somebody, that person says, well, I'm going to go down in flames on behalf of my compatriots. The police would have been taking all kinds of heat for that. So they were interviewing a lot of people in a very short period of time. And they were being interviewed as witnesses, which is what this young man was being interviewed as, a witness.
Okay. Jim Kembloss, Commonwealth's attorney, joins us here. We only have about a minute left, Jim. If you could just update folks on, we know there was one acquittal on appeal. The other three cases are still pending. Is that correct?
One of the youngsters did not appeal.
Okay.
One of them is a closed matter that is before the court, is in the circuit court, but it's closed. Mm-hmm. And the fourth one is set for trial. The ringleader, the oldest, the one mm-hmm. born on Hitler's birthday,
right.
is set for trial in January.
Okay.
Thank you very much for being with us.